Justin, what are we doing for the first time ever?
For the first time in all history, an intentional fatherhood retreat is happening.
And it's happening in Costa Mesa, February 19th through 21st. And the coolest part about this is that you're all invited. Every single father and man you know, invite them out. It's going to be a great time. What can people expect?
It is going to be fun.
Yes.
First of all, there's going to be a ton of talks and teaching on spiritual and physical formation and fatherhood.
Sir.
We're going to do curated times to hang out with other dads who are seeking Jesus, just like you are. And honestly, it's just a chance to get away, which is one of the things that is the most important for dads in this stage of life, to get away and reflect on where life is headed and how they're walking with Jesus in it.
Yes. Couldn't have said it better. So join us in Costa Mesa, California, February 19th through 21st, and check out early bird pricing. That's a big deal. It's happening right now. Go to intentionalfatherhood.org to check that all out, or you can check us out on social. But come, we can't wait to see you in February.
We want to meet you in person. Please come.
Welcome to the Intentional Fatherhood Podcast, where we give you a strong biblical framework and lots of practical ideas on how to live intentionally as a father and a husband. I'm Brooke Moser.
And I'm Justin Whitmore Early, and we're your hosts to guide you through the many roles and challenges that God is calling you to live intentionally as a father. We're following a visual framework that you can check out at intentionalfatherhood.org, and it's going to help you break down fatherhood into 8 callings.
And in each one, we're going to talk about how God made you to be a father and what practical habits you can start trying today in order to live intentionally into that call.
So come along with us as we follow Jesus on this journey towards being more intentional fathers.
Welcome back to the Intentional Fatherhood Podcast. We have fun around here. We have fun around here.
I'm liking it.
We laugh a lot. Welcome back. This is actually our final episode of this season, and really have enjoyed these different conversations. I mean, I feel, Justin, like I just told you this, you make me a better father. So thank you. These conversations have sharpened me in a new way.
Dude, I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that.
That's true.
I've really enjoyed the time to get to know you. We've been talking in and out of these podcasts. So we've been learning a lot about each other as we've talked on them, but also hanging out in and around them. And I just heard you leave a voice memo for one of your family members. I'll just leave it at that. That was honestly a masterclass in speaking intentionally to a family member. So I'm being like edified just by being around you. And I'm hoping that is also true for our listeners, that just in hearing all these conversations, they're just in some way overhearing two fathers talking about the beauties and the difficulties of being a good father, and hopefully taking,
yes,
in the Lord's grace, something away to go be a little bit more intentional about.
Yeah, it is tricky, and we're in the, throes of it as well. We're like in this with you guys. And so if you have listened to every episode and you've made it to this one, thank you. That is incredibly kind. And we've asked you in every other one, but we'll ask you again, if you could rate, subscribe, or even leave a comment, whether that's on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, even YouTube, that's very helpful for us just being able to help more fathers. So do it. It'd be very helpful. If you want to say thank you, that is one way to say thank you. And just remember, if you have any questions from these episodes, send a 1-minute voice memo with your name, where you're from, to hello@intentionalfatherhood.org. We'll grab that email and hopefully be able to respond to your question in the future. So
yeah,
excited to grab those. But today, our final episode, you know, we've been talking about these different anchor points, these tension points. Fatherhood is in the intersection of so many different roles. We want to kind of cap our time off today with a really important topic, which I will let the master, Justin, share.
Fatherhood needs you to find meaning. Your fatherhood needs you to find meaning. And by meaning, this is what we're talking about. This is kind of our liftoff episode. This is episode 8. It's the last one we're doing this season.
Yeah.
Ayo. But this is, to me, this is a liftoff. And we picked it like this on purpose because you can substitute all kinds of words here. Your fatherhood needs you to find art. It needs you to find beauty. It needs you to find hobby. It needs you to find meaning. And that is perhaps not what you might expect a typical podcast on fatherhood to talk about. I mean, a lot of this has been talking about the grind, the difficulties, what you need to do, how you need to be called to do it. But there, I think, is a really important core of all of us that longs to make meaning of the world.
Yes.
That longs to find beauty in the world. This is far more masculine than our culture might admit. that we as men need to find things that light us up from inside out and say, I love being human. I love being a dad. I love being a husband. I love being a human being that God made me to be, because you found something in the world that lights you up. And there's two sides of this to me. Like, one, what I just said, period. That's the first side. As in, you were created by God to enjoy the creation that he made you to play in.
Yes.
And so, and I heard, we actually bonded over a book recently that you said was so good. And then I recently read, it was Sacred Fire.
Yes.
By
Ronald Rollheiser.
Ronald Rollheiser. And one of the themes that just struck me in that book was this consistent theme of gratitude, of figuring out how to be grateful for the life that you've given despite all the difficulties of it. And one of the things he said that I'll never forget, and I just love this, was the thing that you do with gratitude, one of the best ways to express it is to just enjoy your life. I was so profoundly moved by that, because if I think about my children, when I give them a gift, my favorite thing is not that they necessarily turn around and say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I do love that. I do love that. And it's meaningful. And I want them to do that. My favorite thing is to watch them enjoy it.
Yeah.
To just go play, jump on that trampoline I gave them, or swing the bat that I gave them, or whatever it is. And we've talked over and over in this podcast series about, you know, to be fathers of children, we need to learn first to be children of the Father. And one of the real aspects of just being a human being is to enjoy the gift of life that God gave you.
Yes.
To figure, like, just use it, just enjoy it. And so that, this is the realm of hobby, of meaning, of say, what in the world is it for you? Is it music? Is it poetry? Is it travel? Is it fishing? Is it playing sports? Is it pick up soccer? Is it working out? Something where you're like, I feel like an image bearer when I do this. I feel the love of being human when I do this. And just do it, because that is part one of this, I think. Just to enjoy your life. That's a way of saying thank you to God. But there's also a part two, which is we're calling it your fatherhood needs you to find meaning, because your wife and your kids need to see you lit up by joy.
Yes.
They need to see, like, oh, my dad was somebody who loved baseball. Or my dad was somebody who loved watching the NFL, or who he loved sneakers. He loved working out, whatever it was. They need to see that, like, you're a human.
Yes.
And you have things that you love. And so I think some of this episode is going to be asking each other questions and figuring out what is that for you? How did you find it? And how do you work on the discipline of doing something that you just love for the joy of doing it when fatherhood asks so much else of you? And you're like, do I have permission to listen to an album tonight? I mean, yeah. I should be cleaning the kitchen. I should be attending to my wife. We're going to talk about, like, how do you balance that? What is it? Can I just ask, Brooke, what is that for you? Where do you find meaning and joy and hobby in life?
Well, I mean, I probably find myself at the intersection of, I would imagine, many folks listening, which is that time is very constricted. And so I feel to go do something just for myself, that's just for me, it takes me a while to be okay with that.
Yeah.
But I'll just say a couple things. Deep, rich conversation are something that brings me joy. So there's this weird thing, like, even right now, like, there's a part of me, like, this is part of something that brings real meaning to me. It's like having thoughtful conversations about things that really matter, that change not only me, but hopefully others. And then also, you know, they're just deep, meaningful things that bring me new perspective and understanding. That brings meaning. The fact that I get to speak, like I get to travel and speak.
Yeah.
That brings meaning. I get to connect with people that would dare want to just sit and, like, hear anything that I would want to say about a topic. Like, so humbling, so honoring to be able to, like, have, it sounds like almost too lofty in the sense of it's not as earthy as maybe like working out, but the fact that I get to have had hard experiences in my life and that I get to hopefully in different mediums help other people not experience those same pains, or maybe just know that there's hope in them.
Yeah.
Like there is a meaning that comes for me. You know, yeah. It's not as earthy as a hobby, like I said. But there's deep meaning to that. Writing brings me deep meaning, whether it's writing a teaching or whether I'm getting into writing now and different things. There's a new thing I just wrote that I can't say anything about right now. But you know, it brings me life to be able to think deeply. And we actually share some of this, and I won't take your thunder, but thinking that way, writing those things down, working on them, there's a life that comes. So that's maybe like the deeper, higher thing. And the gift that I just feel God has graced me with is the fact that some of my work and some of my meaning overlap.
Yeah, I was going to say, everything that you just mentioned are probably true or false. Am I hearing you right? They're areas where things that you love actually do overlap with things your work asks of you.
Yes.
Which is a gift.
Which is a categorical gift. And I need to say that I know, and I you know, even in saying that, I don't want to create a false frustration or frustration for people and think, well, I can't have that. Like, that's not the point. The point is really just to say, like, I wasn't like shooting for that goal. But I've been very prayerful about my vocation and have said no to a lot of different things. And I'm really grateful that God has been gracious. And then we've made decisions based upon where we've thought he's leading to get to the spot.
Okay. But is there anything that you just love doing? It could be little or big.
Go.
Wait, that is not productive necessarily for your family or for work. That's just like, okay, I don't know how to make this sound good, but I just love going off
Sure. I mean, there's a couple of things that hit that category. I love, I'd say one very earthy thing is there's some workout classes that I go to and they push me hard. Now, I don't love them, but I really love what they do for my life.
Yeah.
And so I've learned to I really enjoy it. That said though, there's nothing that's actually not even a good example, because that does bring some benefit. Cause we talked about it in the body episode.
Yeah.
I'm more regulated, but, I would say some of the extremes, like I said, like going out and spending money on cold plunge and sauna, right? Like that's a cost of money and time. I just love that experience. I love like not only what it does to my physical body, but it's usually a state of prayer or just reflectiveness. There is no real tangible benefit to my family. It usually costs money, right? That's just something I love. I usually try to do that with a friend to have some sort of, you know, connection conversation. I think playing music, like, there's really no benefit to my family when I sit down and just like, I've been thinking about this beat for a long time and I just literally bang it out. But at the same time, like, yeah, there's a little smile that comes to my mind. Like, it's fun to like think it's a cool. Cause when I, in those moments, as an example, that's a habit that, or it was a hobby, excuse me, that became like so muscle memory that it lives in my brain.
Yeah.
And it's so funny how I can just sit down and like, I don't even have to like know how to feel it anymore. It's just, if it's in my brain, I can play it.
Yes.
That's a very weird, you know, thing, but it uses a different part of my brain that does seem to just like bring a life in a way that none of the other things that I do fully bring it in the same way. So again, there's some earthy examples. There's some maybe bigger examples or more meaningful ones, but I think these little things matter. These big things matter. And I will just say when my work didn't have as much meaning, or when what I had to spend a lot of time doing didn't have a lot of meaning, I deep down, ask Elizabeth, man.
Yeah.
There was an unrest in me.
You're not who you're meant to be.
Not who you're
meant to be. It's going to spill out onto your family.
You can ask Elizabeth.
Yes.
Over and over, like, yes. I am so happy he is doing what he is made to do.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
But before, and this is where this, you know, a lot of this content comes from, before there was an unrest in me where I was like, maybe we should move to Los Angeles because I think maybe we're supposed to help lead that church and go plant from a church. And like, so we moved to Los Angeles. Like, and I moved my family like outside of our home and all these situations trying to figure out what the meaning in my work was.
Like, cause you were not at rest.
Cause I was there was a deep unrest in like, in that discovery. And this connects a little bit back to our last episode.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And this is why I think they're entwined. And I think you just gave me a major epiphany on why I felt so much that we need to talk about this in a podcast on fatherhood. Because we know that we're made for work. We know that work is hard. There's lots of difficulties there.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know when we're not finding something about the life God gave us that just lights us up, something at us is at unrest. Like, we are not ourselves. And I think our family often just pays the price of that because we haven't found peace. And so I think this is an episode of invitation, of permission, of saying, y'all out there hearing this, you know, there's something in your life that brings you joy. Or if you're like, there's nothing, that is the problem. And I just want to name it. Like, you need to feel that the creator of the universe, the creator of you, is inviting you to enjoy the life he's given you in gratitude, and that your family needs to see that as a part of you. Mm-hmm. Obviously that can go too far. Sure. Obviously that you can be the kind of person who's like, well, I love rock climbing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do a couple months of backpacking and rock climbing every year. And just, like, you know, to heck with whatever that cost that puts on my family. I'm being obviously really extreme, but we all know how we can take things that we love too far and our families pay the price of it.
Yes.
But I would say, Brooke, I wonder if you agree with this. I encounter more fathers in my life who don't feel the permission to have any hobby outside of work or parenting, have anything that brings them meaning. And they suffer from that. Mm-hmm. What do you see more of? You see more of people taking it too far or people not doing it at all?
Oh, it depends on the level of resource you have. I think that people that have a lot of resource can afford to fill in logistical gaps that allow them to, what's the right way to say it? It can buy them certain levels of freedom. Mm-hmm. Whether, you know, so I think it depends on the person. It depends on the circumstance. I would say, by and large, I see what the first that you said, that there is a, even if there is time and money to have a hobby, there's mm-hmm. a guilt built in. Now this, but where I think this comes down most to is in your marital dynamic.
Yes.
So what this often is your wife's drowning, you're overworking, you're both at your edge of just existence, and the kids are needing a ton, and parenting is exhausting, just even keeping yourself alive is a lot. And so everyone's tanked. And then you say, I got a boys trip this weekend.
Right.
I cannot wait, you know, and guys have a little bit more flexibility sometimes, depending upon their work, not every situation, but a lot of them. And man, what is the wife's response? Who's exhausted, overwhelmed, and tired? Every man listening knows, like, what, you're leaving me with the kids?
Right,
you're like, how could this happen? So I think a lot of the times you have to start working on the, like, you're both kind of drowning. So if you really want to participate in a hobby that brings life, it starts with saying, how can I make space for my wife to have this too?
Yes.
And if the dynamic is, or vice versa, if you're a wife listening, start with that, you know, like, start with, how can I give you an evening, be realistic, to do something that brings you life? Just one thing, one evening, one time a week.
Right.
What is that? And then vice versa, give that back to your spouse. I think a lot of the times it's not that men don't want to do that or don't have those things on their list. I think there is, it's a mental guilt or a mental block. You have time to do what matters to you.
Yeah.
And if a hobby brings you life, I would say you need to make space for that. Like, for example, Elizabeth, she has a lot of health stuff, but exercise brings her life.
There you go.
So I make sure that every morning, she goes to a workout class.
Right.
She doesn't have any responsibilities really for the kids up till a certain, you know, point in time. And that's primarily so that she can do something that is necessary for her whole person.
Mm-hmm.
And we've realized she needs that like 3 or 4, 5 times a week. That seems like a lot, but in our situation, it's a giving. And it makes sense. It brings her life. Now, she does other stuff and she has other things she likes doing, but I'm always trying to say, okay, how do I help that? And then in turn, she's so quick to give the same.
Yeah.
So anyway, I would say, you know, throwing that back to you, I see it being a lot of the times that we say we don't have space and time. I don't see many men having the ability to take advantage of it because I think life is so full.
Yes.
And
yes.
If you are taking like over advantage, which is not as common what I see, I think a lot of guys in those spaces have probably a pretty healthy, unhealthy dynamic with their spouse and kids.
Right.
And it's not like their wife is happy. It's not
No.
Like you're going camping or hunting every weekend, but it's not because your wife's giving you permission. You're just saying, this is
you're demanding on. It. You're taking.
Yep.
I think that's a super, super important paradigm to add in here. And this is really a metaphor for lots of marriage, but you should really, fathers listening, listen, you should really be making sure your wife has that, has the space, has the freedom before you look to your own needs. I mean, this is the life of Christ. I think that he
showed us a lot easier.
Look, well, right? I mean, also it's going to make it easier for you, right? But it's also just the paradigm of Christ of look to the needs of others before you look to your own needs. And I think what we're trying to say here though, is that don't overlook the need of parents to have life outside of parenting.
Don't overlook
the need of a worker to have life outside of working. You're a human being and you are meant for a multiplicity of things. We've sort of founded this whole podcast on this idea that life is more complicated than you think it is as a father. You feel it, but we just want to acknowledge it. There's lots of dynamics, and finding that thing that brings you love is so important. But what we're drilling on here for a second is maybe consider giving it to your wife first. Mm-hmm. And here's how I think about this, okay?
Fathers, we are so excited to let you know of two resources that myself and Justin have been working on. First, Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth, is available exclusively right now at intentionalparents.org or intentionalfatherhood.org. It is a 31-day guide to help you pray and focus with consistency on your family, your children, helping shape their hearts while God shapes yours. And of course, you've heard about it. Justin's resource, his new book, The Body Teaches the Soul, is available everywhere books are sold. This book is about the 10 essential habits that build a healthy and holy life, habits that strengthen how you lead your home. So we want to just encourage you, if you have not grabbed those resources and those are helpful, please take a moment, get those now, and let's get back to today's episode.
Yeah, this is actually really true. I hope in our marriage, Lauren, leave a comment if you disagree.
Actually, could you send in a question too? Yeah. But voicemail.
So one of the things that brings Lauren intense life is reading.
Yes.
And walking in the woods and mushroom hunting. So she
mushroom hunting? That's a great, super, very random hobby.
Obscure hobby.
I love it.
But literally our first cabin camping trip that we ever went on in our first year of marriage, I remember Lauren was like, I'm going to go hunting for morel mushrooms. I think that's how you say it. They're like, they grow in Virginia. They're rare and delicious. But also like all the mushrooms you find are like, you have to be an expert because you might be eating poison.
You could
die. She has an expert hunter friend who she sends pictures to. And he says, yes, you can cook that or not. So anyway, she loves reading. She loves walking outside in the woods and ideally finding mushrooms. But the two of those things, reading is the more common one, because I can say on a weekly or even more times a week basis of like, babe, I know you've been exhausted today. I get it. I see it. Without saying I'm exhausted too, because it's usually true. Like I've also been working all day. I'm also exhausted.
It never goes well, does it?
I think this is the part of the call, part of the strength of being a father. Say, I'm gonna carry this weight for us. Mm-hmm. I got the rest of bedtime. I got the rest of the dishes. You shut the door and lock it so the boys don't come in.
Yeah.
And you read. Just read. Mm. And it's not always easy to accept the gift because she might be like, well, I have a ton to do and I can't just, but sometimes, and I think, you know, it's often that she'll say thank you and she'll just go read. And I want her to do that because I want her to be recharged. She's a huge reader of fiction. Cool. And that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. It's like what she's probably sitting in the room thinking this is not productive for my family.
Sure.
But I, as her husband, am saying, I want you to be the you that God made you to be. Mm-hmm. And I know that you needs to be reading fiction.
Mm.
For me.
I was going to ask, what are the things that bring you life?
There's a lot of things for me.
And bring meaning.
But I would say writing and reading is first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So I'll go on. I'll give a couple others, but I just want to lay this one first down because when I was a missionary in China or a young lawyer working in my big law firm, like overworked and crushed, throughout all of these years when it made no sense to go and write or wake up early and write, I would go and write and I would wake up early and write. I would read poetry. I would write poetry. I would read fiction. I would write fiction. I would read articles. I would write articles. I would read novels and I wrote a novel during law school.
That's you did?
Remains unpublished, but hey, if some agent out there wants to come talk to me, I still really want it.
No way.
But because here's what I'm saying. if I looked at any one of those moments, I would think like sort of wasteful. Like, why are you as a missionary in China leaving your wife on this, like, Tuesday night was my writing night. I would go to an Irish pub down the street in China and like have like a single beer because it was always all I could afford. We made so little money. But then again, your money went really far in China. Anyway, I'm not going to get distracted there. I would have a single beer and I would write. And it had nothing to do with my vocation then.
Absolutely.
It had, but it had, I knew then that it was part of me staying alive. Like I knew, and there's a wonderful quote by Cecil Day Lewis, I think, who says, he said, I write not in order to be understood. I write to understand. And that's the, like, when you hear me say, find meaning, art, hobby, whatever it is, it's some part of life that just helps you process and understand the world, become more of yourself, even though it may be totally unproductive.
Sure.
As it turns out, that love of writing cultivated across time, I'm so thankful. It has become a second vocation. My primary vocation, I would say, is corporate lawyering, but I'm now writing a lot. I'm now publishing books. I'm speaking, and I've great joy like that. That writing hobby has become a part of my life. But I just want to say it doesn't need to have been like the story doesn't need to resolve. And then I started to get paid for it or be asked to do it. No, the story is that it became a meaningful part of my life that I love, that my children see, that my wife sees. And it's just a part of who I am.
Sure.
And so you don't need to get paid for it to do that. But my kids know I love to read and write. If they wake up in the morning now, they're going to come downstairs and find me either sitting in the library or sitting by the fire, depending on if it's summer or winter, just reading because I love to read. And guess what? That's part of our life as a family now. And here's where I'd name other ones. I love camping.
Really?
I love camping.
We need to do that.
Yeah, I'm a huge camper. Like,
there's amazing spots here, by the way. Like, insane spots. We'll talk about it this
later. We'll get there.
Yeah.
I love sitting outside around a backyard fire and talking to friends.
Yes.
I love tinkering with stuff in the house. Like, I'm not...
Dude, you tell them about your tinkering here. You're tinkering.
I saved this background. This background was about to fall apart until I stuck a butter knife in it.
He's like, you got a butter knife? I was like, how's that going to work? Yeah. And you had like some situation, you just shoved it in and kept this thing from rolling down.
Well, and I said,
thank you all for your tinkering.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
All of these things, I think there's a paradigm here. I mentioned camping. I mentioned tinkering. Like I literally love when Lauren's like, hey, we need a new light or a new fan in here. I'm like, can I install it? Like, not because I'm super good at it, but because camping, conversations, tinkering, they get me out of my vocational paradigm where all day I'm doing this. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm a T-Rex. I'm like hunched up and I'm typing. And you know, and everybody who's been listening, I love my work. Like I love typing out contracts. I love writing books.
Yes.
But most of my work asks me to be pretty solitary and pretty in my head. Okay. There's a rabbi, Abraham Heschel.
I was just going to say, this is my Sabbath. I love this book. Yes. The hands in the head.
Yes.
Yes. Take us there.
The quote is that, and this is just an ethic. I love it.
No, but it's helpful.
The man who works with his mind should Sabbath with his hands. And the man who works with his hands should Sabbath with his mind.
Yes.
And so when I think of camping, it's like, oh, I get out of the office and into the roaring, ferocious place of nature where you have to figure out how to stay warm tonight and make a fire.
And arguably it's work.
Oh, right? Oh my gosh. I get
tons of work.
Pleasantly exhausted by camping. Yes. It's so much work to control four boys who all want to jump in the fire or hack themselves with machetes. Cause like, you know, I'm giving them like little hatchets to like work on things. And, but you know, cooking around the fire, like seeing if we can get all the tents set up before it rains, all these things, then tinkering around the house. Can I figure out how to get the ceiling fan installed? And by the way, here's what's great, Brooke. When you're writing, podcasting, negotiating a contract, you never quite know if you've got it right.
No.
Like, is the sentence right?
Yes.
Did this episode turn out right?
Thank you for saying this. Yes.
Did I win this negotiation or not? Should the indemnification clause been this way or that way? You know if a ceiling fan turns on or not. Like, honestly, you just know. Like, does it flip?
This is the.
And there is like such a pleasure to working with your hands. It's like, well, is it level? Is it square? Does the electricity flow? And I think I find that in conversation with friends, it's just an unfolding around the fire with a drink where I'm like, I just feel free to be relational, to talk.
Yeah.
And all these things that I mentioned are now deep hobbies for me. But here's why I wanted to talk about each of those. They're also places where I find my children.
Mm.
I love camping. And guess what I do? I take them camping. Mm. I love conversation. And guess what I'm teaching my kids?
To have conversation.
Yeah. I will. In the evening, we did this literally this week. I was like, boys, I'm going to make a Manhattan. And you guys are going to make a mocktail. Like we're going to make you tea with honey, or like they have like fruit juice, and like maybe add some bitters or something. We're going to make a drink that we like.
Okay.
And to anybody offended, you know, drinking with your kids, you know, I had a cocktail, but it was like the idea of we're finding something to bond over, and we just talked.
Sure. Sure.
And we did. I let them into what I do with my friends. And that is we have a drink and we talk. Or tinkering. I invite anytime I need to replace a ceiling fan. Guess who's going to be right beside me? One of my sons. Usually yeah. It's Asher. He loves working with me. And this is where this is why I think this is so important. Your life of like meaning, art, hobbies, whatever it is for you, is going to be a lot of the place where you invite your children into life with you.
Yes.
Yes. They're not often going to come to work with you, though they should. They're not going to often see like you, what it's like for you and your wife to have date. Like, there's a lot of places of your life that's closed off to them, but these places of hobby is, these where are the places you can invite them in. Like, oh, I always grew up fishing with my dad, or I always grew up going to baseball games with my dad, whatever it is. Invite your kids into that life of meaning because they find you, you, so like the real good. You. They're like, oh, my dad and all his weird eccentricity, he loved doing this and he invited me into his life of that.
I'm so love everything you're saying, agree with it. Have you found the funny thing yet where your kids start giving you feedback about you that you didn't that you weren't fully present to?
I don't know if my kids are old enough to be there yet. I'm not
just
a lot.
Like feedback of like yeah, dad always does this, and I'm trying to remember the example, like, but like, oh yeah, he always says it this way or does this thing. And I, like they point out something and I was like, wait, I do that all the time? Like, you know, you just like, they're making you aware of something that's so obvious to them, but not very obvious to you.
Lauren, definitely. I don't know that my boys are quite there yet.
Yeah. Oh, Lauren helps you with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Our spouses do that. But, you know, back to the idea. I love what you were talking about. Very helpful. And I think what you were just describing, which is super helpful and practical for this conversation, is the meaning, you know, your fatherhood needs you to find meaning. That's a really key part to you as a human flourishing, the meaning of your life. Now, cool thing, your family also brings deep meaning.
Oh, yeah.
Your spouse, deep meaning. Like, that's a big part of it as well. And that's where however many percentages of our time go, you know, it's the prioritized part of our life. But I will say what I like about what you were just highlighting is that when our fatherhood has meaning, when we are finding our meaning in these different, whether it's hobbies and vocation and hobbies together or this overlap, it helps us be fuller, happier, calmer individuals that are better fathers that are like, oh, I have some space to invite them into a hobby. Because you know what's really hard to do? It's hard to invite your kids into a hobby when all you want to do is get away from them.
Yeah.
So wait, that's a...
This is where this is invitation and challenge, I think. Because the invitation is, find something that lights you up and go do it.
Yeah.
The challenge is inviting your children into that with you, inviting your family into that with you, choosing something that doesn't steal from your family, but rather gives to your family.
Yes.
And I just want to note the beauty of this is if your kids don't have some mode of interacting with you where they're like, dad's happy when he's doing this.
Sure.
Then you risk being the father who is always unhappy when you're interacting with your children.
Oh yeah.
And that is so dangerous.
Oh.
Because I think what I'm trying to say is figure out how to be happy in the place you are. Figure out how to be grateful and joyful in the place that you are. And you can't do that without finding a meaningful place of life where then you can loop in your children and be like, work is hard. Lots of things are hard. But when we go fishing,
things are happy.
Yeah, well, I see dad happy.
But maybe to highlight the challenge of what you're saying, because I agree with you on every front. But when you're categorically tanked, overwhelmed, stressed, and your kids are what are taking so much of your life from you, it's, you almost have to have space to get to a spot of being able to get out from underwater, you know, be above water a little bit, to even enjoy their presence. And now I'm not saying that this is right or good. Yeah. I'm speaking to the reality of a felt experience that many parents have, including myself at times, where I want to invite my kids, but like the problem is I've had so much time just
right.
And not in the fun ways, right? Like you're caring for them. You're making sure everything's fine. You're having to get them ready for school. You're having to help them follow through with their responsibilities.
That's right.
There's like those life things that are gritty that get in the way, and they're not those fun moments. I think as dads, and as especially because we're speaking to fathers, I think it's our job in many ways, or at least an invitation to you to think about how can I bring moments of those, yeah, like you're encouraging to space. But I would just also say, if you're the parent that's drowning, you're like, yeah, Justin, that sounds awesome to invite my kids into the one thing that I like doing that brings me life. But every time I do,
part of my goal is to be away from them.
Like, yeah, or sure, just to give me, yeah, a breath. I would, yeah, say, start with giving yourself a breath.
Yes. Yes.
Enjoy that. But in at the right time, invite your kids into it, because, mm-hmm, if you really love it and it brings you life, they're going to like it too.
Yeah.
They're going to love it.
That's well said, Brooke.
And
that's,
I will,
well
say said, something that's probably controversial, but it's not controversial at all, but okay, I think
let's find out. I'll be the judge of it.
Yeah.
You say it. I'll judge.
I love comedy. I love comedians. I love SNL. Like I love watching SNL. SNL is highly inappropriate at times, right?
Life is inappropriate.
Yeah. But I also have kids. I have older kids, a little bit older. And one of my favorite things to do with my son, and he like, it's like on code. He's like, Saturday it comes out. So Sunday it usually is on whatever the next stream, the streaming, yeah, device. Yeah, so, yeah, Sunday night is usually our time to watch SNL together. And I'm telling you, one of the most bonding, stupid things we do.
I love that.
Is, and there's, of course, like I'm skipping certain things. If it starts talking about stuff too much, I'll just, you know, I'll skip ahead. But at the same time, like to sit down and just laugh together, he feels so bonded to me to laugh. The other thing I'll say is that something I invited my son to do a few times, or one time officially, and then there's been a couple more times. But, you know, as a man, you sit around and a lot of the times, not a lot, but, you know, a handful of times, a year I'll sit down with some brothers and we'll have cigars and we'll smoke some,
yeah,
cigars.
Yeah, yeah. Love it. Invite me next time.
Yeah. Well, we can do it tonight if you want.
Okay.
But that said, you know, there's that moment of like, hey, this is a man thing. And so,
well, yeah, it's an adult world.
It's an adult world
that you slowly invite them into at an appropriate level, yeah, and teach them moderation. And,
absolutely. Yeah. So I've had him come. He's been on a couple of these with me. I've handed him a cigar and said, son, yeah, I'm going to show you how to do this. This is not inhaling. And some people hearing this, like, you are the worst father in the world. Maybe. At the very same time, there's nothing more, yeah, bonding, yes, and what a like shoulder chest building thing to be like, I'm with the boys having real conversations. Yep. My dad is letting me smoke a cigar with him.
Yep.
And I mean, truth be told as well, like my son also has a tattoo. I don't know if I've told you.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he has a small tattoo. We have the same one. It's a Roman numeral 5 for the, we're doing some of the Primal Path stuff. But
that's awesome.
But he has a little mini, you know, stick and poke tattoo. And, what greater thing to be like, yeah, I was 13 and my dad and I got a matching tattoo to mark the moment of the start of like a, yeah, process to become, yeah, a man. All that said, I think I'm saying that, and I'm telling you all that to say like,
I'm loving it. I see you keep going. Yeah, so, I'm loving it.
Some of that stuff to me, both of those things that I mentioned are things that actually are, I like them because it's an experience with people, communication, yes, conversation. Yes. Cigar smoke to a man, whatever, like ladies listening, just please ignore this. You might not connect, whatever. The point being that like there's a visceral thing that happens there. Sitting, yeah, down and my son and I watching SNL and laughing our heads off and, yeah, appreciating the, yeah, comedic dryness and all that. Yeah. Like there's life that happens there. So I guess I'm saying, I'm agreeing with you. I'm giving permission to anyone listening to say, make sure that what these things are, they need to bring you life. But when you can, mm-hmm, like just to agree with you, bring your kids in.
Yes.
Bring them, yes, into it, because, yes, I find some of the most bonding things happen. I know my kids will remember a few things about me. They'll remember that we like to laugh a lot. They'll remember I love jazz music. Mm. They'll remember that I love records and jazz music, mm, jazz records specifically. These are things that they just like. I love candles. This is dumb. Like, don't, like, truth be told, I love candles.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I don't wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on.
This is real.
I love candles. I'm not kidding. No, you don't. Yes. My, this is the weirdest bonding moment on a fatherhood podcast. My office makes fun of me because I kind of like collect candles in my office because one, yeah. All right. Actually, maybe we shouldn't talk about this.
I have like 8 candles at my office right now. Like, not even a, I don't light them all, but like they're in a storage spot. Like, I always have candles, dude.
All right. So we talked about cigars and candles. The commonality is fire, burning stuff.
We love smoke. Controlled fire. Anyway, that's really funny that you just said that. I had no idea.
Yeah, I like the presence of a candle while I'm working, both to like the scent. No fake scents. My wife goes crazy if it's like artificial scents. It's got to be natural.
My wife will not let us burn anything in the house.
Got to be natural.
Okay, so.
But I love the presence of light and fire while I work. There's something spiritual and meditative about it, but there's also just, it's nice light.
Oh, I so.
But wait, were you saying it? Well, you were saying your kids know that you love jazz music, you love candles, you love records.
Like, these are just things that are part of their little preferences that bring me life, but they are preferences that impact their life. Like, I think they will grow up, and when they hear jazz music on Sabbath, they're going to say,
yes,
this reminds me of a childhood.
Yes.
That stuff.
Can I, all right. I think we got a couple more things to say, but I want to start to lift us because it's our last episode.
Yeah. Please do.
This is the last part of our last episode.
Yep.
This, I think, is so profound to look at as we end, because what your kids see when they see that is they see that their father delights in things.
Yeah.
He's a man who has the capacity to love and be happy and enjoy. And I think far, far, far too many of us look at God and think of him as primarily the place of authority, of judgment, of, yes, maybe forgiveness and love, but there's something cold and authoritarian and abstract about it, because we miss the fundamental idea that God loves and delights in the world and us.
Yes.
Like, he, as it turns out, invented the idea of delighting in creation.
Yes.
He created light and dark, candles and dimness, and said, good. And then he created mountains and oceans, the places where we love to explore and summit. And he was like, it's good.
Yeah.
And then he created animals, and he created flowers, and he created weird stuff. I mean, like, you know, penguins and northern lights and magnetic properties and
penguins. You know, penguins.
I've never even heard that word before.
Yeah. Well, ask my daughter Birdie; she knows all about them. Anyway.
And if you understand the story of the Bible right, you see that in the opening pages of it, there's a God who like laughs and enjoys and delights in creation.
Yep.
And then he delights in us, and he loves us. And fundamentally, the story of the Bible is that despite all our brokenness, he invites us into the delight of the Trinity, like the laughing dance of like things are going to be lived happily ever after. This is more of a fairy tale than you think. There is more enchantment to the world than you think. There is a Father in heaven who laughs with delight at the goodness of the world he's made and at the goodness of the story that he's telling.
Yes.
And when we live into small places of delight and our kids see that and our wives see that, I think we're reflecting who God fundamentally is, that he is a God of enjoyment and delight. So we should feast, we should hobby, we should tinker, we should do what he does and let our kids see it. And I think we're more of a true heavenly father. We're more like him when we live like that.
Could I just change one word of what you said? Just one, but you said.
Yeah. That whole idea, I'm like, huh,
you're saying we should. So we should tinker. I would like to change it to we get to tinker. We get to experience beauty. It's a privilege to do this stuff. It's not that you should or you have to. Everybody listening, and I know this, I know your heart is to get to. But even as you're saying that, I'm just making the connection, like, it's because it's more than I just should, right? It is. It's I get to delight. I get to enjoy candles and then nerd out with Justin.
I think it's that's so good, because it is a wonderful, surprising permission.
Yes.
That God wants you to enjoy the life he's given you.
Yes.
And you're like, wait, really? I get to do that?
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
You get to enjoy your kids. Yeah. Like it is gift. And I think the more that you recognize fatherhood is a gift, it just doesn't come wrapped like you expect. Mm-hmm. And when I think about fatherhood, it has been the most shaping, challenging thing for me because it has brought up, it has shown and revealed those parts of me that need the most healing. Mm-hmm. And that's an important dynamic to say, like it will expose your areas and your wounds and the things that need healing. Yeah. And I didn't know how much healing I needed,
yeah.
You know? And so it has been both a gift and a challenge. Like I have both embraced it with everything in me. And then I've also had many moments of just sadness of like, man, I wish my kids had a different dad sometimes, you know? Mm. And I don't actually want that, but I guess maybe just to sit with the human experience that it is that hard a lot of the times, depending upon your situation. And it brings out things in you that, you know, you're surprised by.
Yeah.
But we, at the very same time, fatherhood is a gift and your fatherhood needs you to find meaning, because when you find that meaning, I'm telling you, like I know for you, Justin, you're saying this, and this has been even in the more recent years for me, it has helped me want to be a better father.
Yeah. Yeah.
In every way it's helped me. And it can be big or little, and it can be as simple as like, I go hunting and I come back just smiling. And I think, you know, Sabbath, the idea of Sabbath is so important. Mm-hmm. Our Sabbath at our home is very important. Our kids know what day of the week it is because they know that on Sabbath they get to watch cartoons in the morning and they get to eat sugary cereal. That's what we let them do.
Again, it's a place of delight.
It's a delight thing, right? So they know that and they love it. And that's just like one small example. But, you know, Sabbath is all about worshipful fun and rest. Mm-hmm. And that is what a lot of, and this is not idealistic, but like, that's the point. So the point is to take a day to just say, how can I have worshipful fun and rest? What brings me life and rest? So some of that's going to be hobby stuff. But what's fun? Like, set it aside. Yeah. Like, you get a day, you work real hard, men, you work real hard, have fun. Like, and some of you are in the space where it's just going to take time to figure out what that means and what that looks like with your family. But anyway, we get to tinker, we get to get together around the fire, we get to do that stuff, and it's a gift.
I think this whole idea is probably a good place to land this season. Mm-hmm. When I think about tinkering or art or finding your hobby, you know, lots of them ask us to slow to the pace of the craft. You know, if you build, you know, you slow to the place of drying concrete. Or if you make music, you know, it takes time to form a song. It takes practice, all these things. So they make us get involved with an art, and they make us realize that these things take time. They're small pieces put together. And this is where I think this has something to teach us about fatherhood in general. Mm-hmm. One of the most meaningful things that I ever heard was that life itself may be the greatest work of art. And you know, I'm motivated. Like, there's a part of me that's very artistic. I love to write. I love to create. And when I realized, wait, life itself is the greatest story that I'll ever write. Like, my family is the greatest project that I'll ever work on. Mm-hmm. My marriage is the greatest composition that I will ever compose. Mm. And all these things, that we're trying to do in fatherhood, we've drawn all these intersecting lines that people can look at of, you know, the tensions of the roles. And it is a lot more like creating than we think, because it happens in small, persistent patterns. Anybody who's a painter knows there's just a lot of small, tiny strokes that end up making masterpieces. Mm. And when you think about your life of being a father, there's going to be a ton of small, tiny tinkerings or habits or efforts. And it's possible to like hear all the talk we've done on habits or rhythms or things to do and think of them as like work or drudgery or difficulty. And part of it is, okay? Yeah. Part of it is. Any painter is probably going to tell you, this part of the painting was just drudgery.
It was a lot.
But when you start to zoom out, as we're trying to do in this episode, and realize that all those little efforts, all those little habits were strokes in a masterpiece called your life. That is not being done just by you, but rather the Father is holding your hand, guiding your hand, tuning your ear, lifting your voice, and helping you to compose, to write, to make meaning out of your family. That is a beautiful thing. And I think it's a way to look at fatherhood, not just as work, not just as drudgery, not just as the realm of habit, though it is. All this comes together to make your family, your life, a work of art offered to the God who made you to create just like he did.
Yes.
And I think when we see that there's beauty in the drudgery. Mm-hmm. There's a payoff to the whole story. There's an arc to it. And that we're more like God than not there. We create like him. And our greatest call to creation might be to create an intentional family.
Yes. So well said. Men, fathers, you can do this. I think it's really important to say that. Right, right. Like, we need to remember that. Like, some of the most helpful things in our life, with the power of the Holy Spirit and with some intentionality, you can be an amazing father. Like, and pray about it. I pray all the time. God, help me be a better father. Yeah. Like, daily. Help me be a better father. Why? Because I need that help every single day. But just to say, we are two very imperfect in process fathers. Mm. But we'll just say, if we've been able to see behind any curtain, or if this podcast can hopefully give you anything, we want to give you hope that this is something that, with the power of the Spirit, you can live into.
Yeah.
We've talked about a lot of just logical things, practical things, because life is both physical and spiritual. It's a lot of the things we've talked about. And it is both. But even as we wrap up today, I just want to say, fathers, you can do this. And so what I'd love to do to end this season is just to pray a blessing over the fathers. Can we do that?
Amen.
I'm going to pray. You're going to pray.
Amen.
And just to take a moment to pray blessing over those who've listened, who are listening to this. I can't think of a better way of that. So you down?
Let's close.
Let's do it. Father, I think of all the fathers listening. And I simply just want to ask that anyone that hears my voice or Justin's voice right now would just be filled with the fullness of joy and the might of your power and the ability to do what they cannot do on their own.
Mm.
I pray that you would give vision. You would give more capacity and more energy. Sorry. So many of us are just at our wit's end or at our capacity. God, we pray for more capacity to do the right things. We don't pray for more capacity to do the wrong things, but more capacity to do the things that are going to bring life to our families, to our children.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Father, I pray for the men listening right now. I pray, God, that you would give them the tenacity, the conviction, the heart, the ability, the skill, the wisdom, the self-control, the discipline, all the things that we need that we wouldn't even fully have on our own. Energize it supernaturally by your Spirit to be able to be wonderfully loving, tender husbands, thoughtful, caring, gentle, and fathers that imitate you and image you really well to our kids. For all the blunders we've made, we ask that you would heal the wounds that we have created in our kids. Heal the wounds that we've created in our spouses. And Father, heal our lives that we might be able to represent you well in this world to our family.
Amen to all that. And Lord, I pray a blessing on all these fathers listening. Mm-hmm. Would you bless and keep them? Would you turn their sorrows to joy? Would you take their traumas, their pain, make meaning out of it, redeem it? Would you take their blessings and help them build on them? Would you help them find meaning in their work? Help them find healthy rhythms for their days. Bring them out of vice, out of loneliness, into friendship, into virtue, into habits that build strength for their family. Lord, bless and keep them. Make your face shine upon them. Would they see you in some new way through these fumbling podcasts that we put together? Would you use these words that they might see your face in a new way? Would you meet them in their quiet times? Would you meet them in their moments of prayer? Would you meet them as they cry out before disciplining? Help as they cry out before trying to have a conversation with their wife or their kids. Just help. When they're just saying help, would you meet them with so much more than they even asked for? Lord, make your face shine upon them. And may all of us, Lord, I pray that we would go in the peace, in the shalom, in the goodness of an integrated life with all the tension points work together, flourishing for good, the way that you made creation. Would you work peace in our lives, in our families, in our fatherhood? For all these fathers, I pray, may we go in your peace. It is in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey.